automate more, relax more, get paid with less effort than ever. Coming soon, D72. Make sure to visit foolishit.com for updates. Podnuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 106. Tonight we're a little short-handed, but that doesn't mean we are short with stuff to chit-chat about. It's always a good time just to come here on Tuesday nights. That's the three nights that we do with this live recording. If you're listening to this and it's not Tuesday, sorry we missed you. But you can always check us out on the podnuts.com/live. On Tuesdays, we start right around. We try to shoot right for about 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Sometimes we're a little later. Sometimes we're a lot later. Depending on how things go in life. Because you know what? Everybody here who is on the show, we have jobs. We podcast for fun. We enjoy coming out and hanging out with each other and talking about stuff and learning about what everybody else is doing and bouncing ideas off each other. But we do have jobs. And so we do make time to come out and spend time with each other and have a good time. So speaking of each other, there's only one other tonight, and it's Tim. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Good, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing well. The snow is melting. I've been complaining that I wanted snow, and last Thursday, it hit like a vengeance, and now it's melting.
How much
now
did
it's
you
just
get?
Slushy. I got about a foot.
Oh, wow. But that's okay. All right.
Yeah.
That'll wake you up.
Well, it was supposed to be, you know, snow's coming maybe Saturday morning, and then it was, hey, by the way, we're closing school half a day early because snow's here, and then there's another snowstorm, and then there's another snowstorm, and then there's freezing rain. And okay, now we're back up to like 45 degrees and raining. It's melting pretty fast.
I tell you what, I'll take it. I would take that because we've been in a deep freeze. Last few weeks crossing over the Ohio River, it's not frozen, but it's iced over in that, I mean, when it snows, the river is like covered in snow. And you can see right to the center of it where the barges run have broken it up. You know, it's obviously not very thick, but to imagine it being so cold for so long that the Ohio River is frozen over, even you know half an inch, that's impressive. I mean, that's cold. So, we had another day that was 7 below overnight, and goodness gracious, the only time I think it did get above freezing, it was after we had 6 inches of snow, and then it rained and froze on top of it. So. You had this like snowpack that had this layer of eighth of an inch or so, or maybe the first quarter inch was like frozen where the rain hit it and it froze. It was an awful mess, just an awful mess. And it's still out there. And I tell you, the only hope I have is just found in the calendar, my friend, that I actually think we might be getting. You know what? The days are getting a little longer, too. You know, the sun's up a little bit earlier. It goes down a little later. It gives you hope. So I'm hanging in there. I've decided that I'm gonna give it another month, and I'll see. But no promises.
All right. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, when it snows, people freak out. I was way over in the other side of Portland, so I was about 30 miles from home, and it started to snow, and I got stuck in traffic. And anyways, but we definitely did not reach those negative numbers. We reached, low 20s-ish, and people were trying to walk on ponds in the area. Mm-mm. And guess what happened to those people who tried to walk on ponds in the area? Yeah, they're not. I was like, what? People were actually walking on ponds, and then they fell through. And you go, really? Did you think the one night of freezing temperatures was going to, you know, just because it looks solid, do you think that's really going to be solid? So, anyways, Pacific Northwest, it snows, people freak out, they start skiing down the road. I think I heard something like 5 people were hit by cars because they were walking in the roads. Like, I'm just, Pacific Northwest, beautiful place to visit. Come up here in the summer, come in the spring, hit the mountains, the trails, you can go hiking. Come here in the winter, it's wintry and snowy, and you madness will ensue, and you will never want to come back.
Yeah. I mean, is that every year, or just, you're saying just when it's like unusually severe bits of weather, Pacific Northwest choose to experiment in their own special way?
Yeah, when it's severe weather. When it snows, especially, people go 6 inches of snow. I have no idea what to do and how to drive.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and you know what? You've seen that around the country, and course, the big story was in Atlanta, where I think, what was it, a couple inches of snow completely gridlocked their city. And, you know, it sounds ridiculous, especially if you live in a place with snow. But, I mean, that's like, to be fair, that's like the city of Pittsburgh completely shutting down from a sandstorm. Well, that never happens here. We're not prepared for it. And, you know, and so, you know, if we only get two sandstorms every 100 years, well, yeah, we are going to look silly when we get one. And so, you know, that's the way it is there. I mean, especially with their traffic patterns, you know, those road systems are designed to handle a certain amount of traffic moving at a certain speed at certain times. And as I understand it, in that city, you know, they expect traffic to cycle through their cycles. Well, you get a little bit of snow, people are spinning around, and it's kind of like in Pittsburgh where you have these tunnels, and it's like, it's 7 o'clock at night. Why is all this traffic backed up? Well, you know, you have to go back to 4 o'clock when an old lady driving like a fly flew in her car and she swatted at it and accidentally tapped her brake. And and then the person behind her tapped her brake, but they slowed down a little bit more. I mean, you have to follow the chain back that far. And so, it's not these cause and effects, especially with traffic. It's not instant. You know, it carries out over time. Actually, real quick, that reminds me of a hilarious story I heard. There was a comedian on TV. He said that he lived in Pittsburgh for like three months or something. But that he was, I don't know, if you've ever had an old car and you've been driving through a tunnel, or you ever notice in an old car that tunnels are longer, or bridges are even longer, or road construction with like no shoulder or place to pull off are much longer when you're driving an old car than like something brand new. Because you know that it won't die until then. And he's telling the story. Of course, you know, he's like the struggling comedian. So, you know, he's like loaded, right? And he's driving his old car. He's going through the tunnel. And, of course, having lived here, this makes it just so much more special. But he was driving through the tunnel, and his car broke down in the tunnel, which is like a nightmare. That's a complete nightmare. And he, of course, traffic backs up forever. And he got the car moving, but he only got it far enough that it was out of the tunnel and out of the way when he gets it started. Well, he was stuck in a place where he couldn't like merge back on and go the same direction he was going. He was forced to turn and go through the other tunnel going the other way. Okay, so he does that. Well, he gets off the highway, turns around, and he gets back on the highway before the tunnel, going the direction he wants to go. And he's now sitting in a long line of traffic, and it occurs to him that he is sitting in his own traffic jam that he caused.
That's karma for you.
It absolutely is.
I was late to my own doctor's appointment because I created a traffic jam and then got stuck in it.
That's right. He was stuck in the traffic jam that he himself caused. It's like being your own grandfather or something like that. I don't remember how the story goes. But, I don't know. That kind of made me think of that. That's so funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. So, anyway, yeah, snows and traffics and all kinds of craziness. Is there any craziness going on in the nether regions of the
world? Got a couple things. So the snow created kind of a interesting conundrum for me. I had a computer. I had a client of mine called me up and said, "Hey, my computer died." And I went down there. He said, it's not starting. And so I thought, okay. So I go down there and it's an old, it's not old, but it's a Dell 760, but it's running Windows XP. And you go to, and the nice thing about the Dells, especially this Optiflex line is, remember, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they have the lights in the front of them. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, sure.
And so what's nice is because those lights will flash and tell you what the problem is. So I get there and try to turn the computer on and it actually doesn't turn on. Nothing happens with the button. So I reach around the back and there's that toggle. There's like a reset button on the power.
Okay.
And I hit it and it kicks on, but the light is amber. The power button light's amber. And like then the numbers.
Like an overload protection type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so click it and it kicks on, but it doesn't turn on. It just starts telling me what's wrong. So I'm doing some research and found out that probably a bad motherboard or RAM. So either way, I need to take it home with me. So I bring it home. On my way home, I call up a couple of my friends because I know that they have possibly some 760s laying around. I get a hold of one of them. Yes, he does. And then snowstorm hits. So I kind of have to wait until yesterday to get out, get the computer from him. I got it. He said, do you need the motherboard? What do you need from it? And I said, whatever you have, really, I think it's a motherboard issue. So he says, well, I'll take out the RAM and the hard drive and hold on to that. Not a problem. I brought it home, put the other guy's RAM in, put the hard drive in. It kicked on. I delivered it to him. He was so thrilled that I got his computer back up and running. And it's a Windows XP machine, so I know that it needs to get replaced, but there's an old application that they're using currently right now that they need to be using it until we get it moved over. And I think we can get it running on like a Windows 7 in compatibility mode because it just points to their on-site server for the data. So I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. It was kind of a bad time to break, but we got that one up and running. And so shout outs to my friends for being able to just kind of be there, and they assisted me, and I was able to get a computer up and running without just popping out a hard drive. Is essentially what I did.
Yeah, no, that's outstanding. No, actually, it's a perfect time for an XP machine to break down because they're landing right in my lap, and it's like, okay, I'm going to fix it, and you're going to be able to use it. But and so I have a captive audience, if you will. I'll say, look, you know, you've got time is running out on this machine. You know, if they're using XP. Doesn't take much to convince them that, look, the hardware is dated. I mean, assume unless this is something that they have built recently, which and they're a crackpot that just wants to use XP, as many of us are, but 99 times out of 100, this is something they bought off the shelf and they've been using forever, and you've probably been bandaging it up, and they know that it's time, and so it's a great opportunity. You give it back, this is your bill, and you're going to want to call me in a few months if you want this to go well for you. Or you can call me in many months when something very bad has happened to you.
Right.
It's like, look, I don't want to hurt computers, but sometimes computers get hurt.
Hey.
I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, this thing, it's connected to the internet. It's a ticking time bomb. Eventually something is going to happen. The major safeguard is Microsoft provided security patches, all boos and hisses aside, that generally speaking, XP has been patched up and made to work about as well as it ever could be. Man, with the end of that support, unless that thing is going to be stuck in a corner offline for a kid to play. For grandpa to play in solitaire. How about that? I mean, that would be a satisfactory use for an XP machine. And I would say that's just fine, but people aren't going to do that. And, and my one customer, I had the laptop, but she has two other XP machines, desktops there. And we've been talking forever. I mean, it's a residential client, but we've been talking forever about getting a nice little backup, you know, a little NAS device sitting over here, consolidating everything. And I mean, she never had a real motivation. Everything was working as it was, and I would just kind of come in periodically, clean things up. But I said, this is time. And she agreed, so we'll be talking. But
I always think, you know, April sounds so far away, because it's always down the road. Well, today's February 11th, recording date here. That means that it's less than 2 months away, which kind of sent shivers down my back, because I have a client who just loves their XP machines, and I need to go back to them and say, we need to start looking at moving you off, because come 2 months from now, I can't guarantee anything. Yeah, Microsoft may have, they're pushed out their Microsoft Security Essentials, big deal. I mean, that's great that they did that, but what's the point of that? So, I'll be moving these people off, because it's actually two machines that they use very rarely to do. Everybody else is all Windows 7. So I'm not, the one thing that I always forget about is that Server 2003 now will start becoming end of life in 2015. So while XP is ending now, 2015 you still have a little bit of time on, but don't wait too long. And that's a note to myself, because I have some clients who are still running 2003. We need to move them up. And I actually have more clients running 2003 than I do XP, if that makes sense.
Really?
And
is that right?
Because you look at like a big company and you say, okay, this big company all has Windows 7 machines, but then they have four 2003 machines. That's only four machines, but they're domain controllers and print servers and, all this other kind of stuff. And so as soon as you move from a 2003 to a 2008 or a 2012 server, you're now moving from a 32-bit operating system to a 64-bit operating system. Now printer drivers are all different. And so if it's a print server, now everybody's got to get new printer drivers. It's that's just one one thing, let alone, you know, Active Directory and things like that. Those get moved just fine. But
You know what? I mean, April's going to be here like that. When you think about, you know, you always think about, well, at the end of January, I should have all the documentation. I need to do my taxes. That's the end of January. I got until the middle of April. But it always comes in the blink of an eye. And so we're talking about the same thing here with, and we're darn near halfway through this month already. So,
Yeah,
it's going to happen very quickly. And I think you made a good point without maybe actually spelling it out, at least in my mind, was that, you know, workstations, hey, this is something that you can walk in, address it, and handle it relatively quickly. You know, we're talking about days, weeks, depending on how quickly they can cut your check and we get stuff ordered. Server, not so much. I mean, that's something you have to really plan out as you know, the deployment, the whole process. I mean, there's a you're shaking your head. I assume you agree with me.
Oh yes, what, no, it's a big yes.
What would you say? What is a? I'm just saying, like, you know, I just say, just you and me talking. Like, how long would it? Because I don't really know. How long would it take? If you were talking to a company, what could you tell them to expect? You know, I mean, if you were just walking in there, what the turnaround would be, you know, just recently.
For 2003 to 2008 R2 or 2012 change?
Yeah, I mean, if they were looking down the barrel of the gun and you had to help them.
Right. Oh, at least a couple of weeks, because you have to look at your planning. And this is a great time then, you know, if you want to do any upgrades. But, you know, the biggest thing I run into is that if your print server is still running on a 2003, that's only 32-bit. So, and 64, you know, and you would run into this issue, and I found this issue a lot when there was the big Windows 7 64-bit push and the 2008 R2 when that first came out, because there's that 32 versus 64-bit, and printer drivers are completely different. It may be easier now, but I'm still running into issues where if you deploy a new 2008 R2 or a 2012 server, being that it's 64-bit, you have to go get 64-bit drivers, and they have to match, and you have run into that issue. So, really, if you are looking at 2003 and you need to upgrade into the future, you're going to have to give yourself, I mean, you're talking a little bit of time for you just for deployment. Now go back a little bit with what is on that server and what needs to get upgraded, and if there's any proprietary software, if there's any backups, if there's any, you know, there are so many things that could be, generally on a client's workstation, you're going to have their data, Office probably, Outlook, maybe some configurations, you know. But on a server, there's a lot of things that are specialized for that server. And that's one of the things that takes the longest for me are all these specialized apps that have been running for so long that now we need to figure out how to get them to run, and not only run, but run in a 64-bit operating system.
Right. And you know what? That's actually a really good point, too, because what experience I've had in a working in small businesses is that the one thing I could always count on was that no matter what the business, they always had some small specialized piece of software that they had to pay to, you know, fairly custom piece of that does this or that. And just the time that it takes me to say, oh gosh, okay, this is what this does. This is how it does it. And migrating it, you know, from the old system to the new, and oftentimes working with the publisher, who is usually just the, you know, a guy who has offered them support through the years, that right there is often, because that's the unknown. It's a wild card, and so you never quite know exactly how that's going to go or what's going to be evolved. And is that something you were alluding to?
Yeah. It's just that whole, you never know, and especially with a server. You get in there, you put it in place, you have to test it, you have to, you know, make sure everything's working right. You know, you need to make, because now here's something I didn't even think about until just now. It's not only, you know, what about the applications, but what about your network? What if that computer is now running something specialized, or the ports changed, or you got to do something else, or, you know, if there's a different IP address on that new server, you know, you have to do some, maybe if you have some NAT, some network address translations going on, you have to redirect those in your switch. You know, there's a lot of things that go into play. I mean, as it is right now, I'm looking at replacing, for one customer, we're looking at replacing a new router and two new switches. And, you know, it's not only just prices, but, you know, now we have to look at downtime. How long is it going to take? If that server is the primary domain controller, you bring up another server as that, and then, you know, if it doesn't fail over correctly, because you're going to need to change the rules and let it replicate, you know, what if it doesn't? You know, are you going to try to do this on like a lunchtime break, which is probably not very smart on a Monday afternoon, you know? I never recommend implementing new servers at lunch on a Monday afternoon. I'm just going to put that off for the record. Please don't. You know, maybe it's a, you know what, block out a weekend just in case type thing. Maybe get there Friday night. And that way, if it works great and you're in and out in a couple hours, perfect. You still have time to go, you know, grab a happy hour somewhere. And if not, you have until Monday morning to get it fixed.
A soft open that, you know, we don't have the grand opening until we've run everything through its paces a bit and make sure it's working as to be expected. I mean, hey, smoke may come out of the back of the thing.
Right.
With just because UPS dropped it on the way. So, yeah, lunchtime Monday, that's a bad thing.
Don't do it lunchtime Monday.
Unless they're closed, unless it's a restaurant closed Mondays and Tuesdays.
Maybe. Well, then start Sunday after work. Happy hour at the restaurant.
That's why this guy gets the big bucks, folks. Did you see that?
So that's it right there.
He's the man.
And I'm out.
Drop. Pick up your mic and drop it.
No way. That would make a lot of people really upset.
Oh, I'll just sit here and tell jokes. I heard a terrible one about a bear.
anyways, okay. Well, speaking of, you know, we were talking about Windows XP and patches. Microsoft, today's the second Tuesday of the month. Microsoft releases two critical and three important security updates. So not a whole lot of updates today, but definitely some critical and some important updates. So make sure if you are running any Windows machines, please update them.
Yeah, they're XP updates. I mean, they're like, blow out a candle, because, I mean, celebrate it. There's only a few left.
This is it. That's this one, it. And then, there's three left, because I think they're going to release the last patches on the 8th.
Right.
For XP.
Pull out a FODI for your XP patches.
Right. So, we were talking, and, you know, now I'm going to jump back to the servers, yeah. Is that there has, we have a listener, his name is Joe, and he actually lives and works over in the Portland area. He called me up last week and is going to be implementing, he's been asked to implement a new server inside of their network. And so we're going to, the server's been ordered and it should take about a week to get here and then we're going to get together. So I'm going to get a chance to meet a listener, get together and actually, you know, we're going to deploy a server together, get new computers. They were on a work group. We're going to get them on a domain. You know, we're going to look at maybe a print server. We're going to maybe looking at like a Windows software update services and then how to use group policy to make things run a lot smoother with login scripts and just, you know, he's excited because he has never or very rarely gets a chance to look at servers. And I'm excited because I get a chance to meet a listener and go ahead and work with him and teach him, you know, kind of some of the server foo.
Nice.
And so that should be happening within the next couple weeks. We'll get with that one. And I'll try not to, they seem like they're pretty flexible as far as when to get the stuff deployed. So I'll try to maybe do it during the Geeksters fiscal week. And that way, come the following week, we can get a chance to talk about it.
Well, take care of them, because we need all of our listeners.
That's right.
I mean, if we lose one, we're back in the single digits. So, take care of the man.
Joe, you're our only hope.
Joe, you are, hey, we appreciate you.
Well, and listeners, we have an email. So, there is no, I feel like there's no rhyme or reason in today's podcast. We're just kind of jumping around.
I'm spinning a wheel back here.
We're just.
That's it.
Time for emails.
Yeah, it's like it's show roulette.
Well, and I wanted to bring this up because this is actually we've talked so many times about how you have to uncheck a box to not install something, whether it's Chrome, whether it's Microsoft Security Scan Plus, or not Microsoft McAfee, or whether it's. Gosh, you name it. Remember that, you know, you go to install an application and you have to uncheck the box to not install an application. I think these are the same people who write ballots. Vote, check this box to not increase the not raises or of the taxes. And you're like, what? So
right. Exactly. David Knoll, that's right. And the ballot, when it fails, everybody cheers.
Exactly. And you're like, wait. My head hurts.
It's
51%. You're like, right. No, but you vote yes to vote no.
Right. Hey, my test came back negative. Woohoo!
Right. Well, that's a good thing.
It is, but it's a stupid language, and what these people with these checkboxes do is stupid too. But it's just trickery.
It is, because you go through and you go, I accept, and then you go, wait a minute, how did I get conduit, my coupon printer, 18 versions of Chrome, and, you know, my web search all installed when all I wanted to do was install, you know, Flappy Bird. We'll talk about that one in a moment. Anyways, David Knoll writes in and he says, "Hi, my name is David Knoll, and I own Knoll's PC Service, a computer repair in business in Marshfield, Wisconsin. I bet you it's cold there. I wanted to let you know or tell you guys about a really cool program called Unchecky. It's really cool, and it will by default uncheck all the checkboxes inside the installer slash downloader so you don't get all of the junk programs you do not want. Also, it's a light program and automatic updates. They released it in November of 2013 and is now being updated all the time. The best thing is that it is free. Check it out over at unchecky.com, and you can read more about it. I'm a big fan of Geeksters and Podnuts and love you guys' show. Keep up the great work. Thank you, David Knoll."
Wow. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, David. And so, Tim, did you get a chance to look at the show or this app?
I brought it up, and I took a look at it real quickly. I didn't get a chance to try it, so... I'm curious. It sounds like Pandora's box. I mean, it sounds like something that could do something really, really cool, but if you start trusting something and you're not paying attention, who knows what it's doing? So I'm not saying it's a bad app now or ever will be, but, I don't know. Are you putting some trust in this thing that, I mean, although it would be nice to have something that automatically does this for you and then you can kind of quickly scan it to see that everything looks correctly, instead of having to go through it with a magnifying glass and your lawyer to try and figure out what should be checked and unchecked.
Right.
Did you get a chance to try it?
I don't know. Well, it's the problem. Well, it's only an executable.
Linux. Okay, that's right.
So it doesn't run on my Linux box. Hmm. I could install it on my VM, but I did not. So I have not had a chance to try this. But there's a YouTube video, and what it looks like is that you are still responsible for clicking, you know, next on the boxes, but it will automatically uncheck boxes for you. So it does have some safeguards where you have to authorize continuation. It's not just click it, run it, go. But apparently this is an app. It just runs either in the background or in the system tray. And then when you go to install something, say like uTorrent, like you want to download the Sonar project from Jonathan Nadeau, and you want to host his ISOs for him. You go to install uTorrent. Well, uTorrent wants to install the uTorrent search engine bar and the uTorrent downloader application and all of this. It actually wants to install Conduit as well. So, yeah. That's Shudder.
Right, yeah.
So, as you're going through and you run it without unchecking on, it wants to, you know, custom install the toolbar, make my default search in Conduit, make my homepage Conduit, allow my current homepage to everything to be stored and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. So, you turn on Unchecky, and then as you move through it, it actually unchecks all of that for you. Now, you then again have to click next to move on, so you can override what it automatically does, but it keeps you from having all of those things installed. And the YouTube video does go through things like uTorrent, it goes through BitTorrent, it goes through, I mean, it looks like this application, they set it up to... And then they run a whole bunch of different applications through it, so you can get a chance. By a whole bunch, I mean like four or five, to get a chance to kind of see what it does. And so, I have not used it. I haven't tried it. I should, but I haven't yet. But it looks like a good application. It sounds like David, you know, it sounds like David's been using it for a long time, and that they keep doing updates on it. So, I'm assuming their updates are not necessarily on the application itself, but actually the database of the application. So it can check or uncheck more items from more applications down the future.
I'm going to try it out because it seems like I've been harassed a lot lately with these Flash updates and Java updates.
Well, speaking of that, you do want to update your Flash, though. Flash has come out with a vulnerability last week. And so if you are listening and you have not updated your Flash and you're getting prompted, please update your Flash. Sorry.
No, that's, I'm glad you said that because I wasn't aware of that. I just thought, well, you know what? Every time I see an update, I have to assume it's security related. I don't think that there's much they do that it's for, to improve, user's experience. I'm assuming it's because they got caught with their pants down again. So, but you know what? I get so irritated because I talk about this all the time. I tell people to do it all the time. And then when I have to do it, I'm like, I'm above this, aren't I? Nope. I have to do it too. So, and then I have to go through and uncheck everything. I'm definitely going to try it out just out of curiosity because, hey, look, that's pure genius. As much as irritating as that is, even if it's something I can't necessarily recommend to my customers, man, if it could make my life easier, I'll definitely.
Yeah. Lifeline IT in the chat room says that he tried it about a month ago and he couldn't see it actually doing anything. So I'm curious if that is because it was so new, and I'm just throwing it out here, if that it's so new is that it doesn't have all of the applications installed. Like if you, like say CCleaner, it's a tool that I use all the time, and they have a slim version if you know where to look on their webpage to download it, but the full version will install some other toolbars. I think the Yahoo toolbar or something, the toolbar.
It's been a while, I think.
Right. So if Unchecky doesn't know about that one yet, then when you go to install it, Unchecky won't do anything about it. So I'm hoping that this will, you know, I'm hoping that it'll grow, and I'm hoping that, you know, they will do that. And I don't know if they have a public place where you could submit, you know, hey, what about this or what about that there.
Well, yeah, that's what they need, is just a forum where people could constantly update it. Hey, you know, I just ran into this. You might want to, you know, take a look at this submissions.
Unchecky.com/contact. Yeah. Please don't use this contact form to report bugs or suggestions. Post feedback. Oh, use the user echo page instead. So unchecky.userecho.com has some stuff in there, and it looks like a lot of it is in Russian. So maybe either it's not legit, or they are pro Olympics. I don't know.
Or you're pronouncing Unchecky wrong.
I could be pronouncing Unchecky very wrong.
It almost sounds like a slur, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, man. It didn't. Maybe it translated well, I suppose, before you knew that it was Russian. I don't know. Hey, it sounds really interesting. I think it's a great find from our listener.
Yeah, and we like those tips and tricks. So back to that Adobe Flash. Adobe Flash. This would have been the 4th, February 4th they released that. So that would have been last Tuesday. And some of the, this one here, it's an article and I'll put a link to it. It's already in our chat. It's from CNET and it didn't come out until 5:11 p.m. Pacific. So we were just ending when this one came out. It says Adobe released Adobe is encouraging everybody who uses Chrome, Internet Explorer, to update their Flash.
Wait, what? Are you saying that's why we didn't have it on the show? Because it came out just moments after our show ended?
Yeah.
That we are on top. You have a man in the back reading a ticker tape. And if it comes out like 1 minute after the show, our people aren't getting it. I mean,
I'm just letting you know why I haven't talked about it. I try to let our listeners know when, you know, important things come out as soon as possible. It sounds like I'm 6 days behind, because actually I am 6 days behind, literally.
Volcano could erupt behind me and I wouldn't even know it. Oh. So I'm not really aware of things. So if you are getting constant, up to the minute updates, I mean, people can look to you for that. That's not me.
I just realized it read February 4th, 2014 at 5:11 p.m. Eastern, 5:11 p.m. Pacific. And I went, oh, February 4th. Okay. That was last Tuesday at 5:11. And we usually end right around there. So I just missed it.
That's why we didn't discuss it then.
That's right. And I wanted to mention, because it's, anyways.
Sorry, I drew attention to it now.
Now I feel foolish. Anyways, update your Flash. Vulnerability could affect systems. It's a 0-day. Well, it's not 0-day anymore, but definitely update your Flash if you get notified. But you did bring up a good point, Tim, when you said you constantly are getting updates. The problem is that because we're constantly getting updates, it gets to the point where we're so annoyed by updates, we just instinctively say, go away, leave me alone. I don't want to do this because you keep bothering me. Huh. The problem is that it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. You know, update, update, update. No, no, no. Oh, huge update. You have to update or we're going to get, you know, you're going to get.
Sorry about that.
Hold on. I'll get that. Hello?
Sorry about that. Usually again today.
Again today, it's a roulette show.
My daddy Mitch wasn't here to tell me to mute it.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, I'm done now. I don't even know.
Oh, you're mad now.
Oh, I'm this train has fallen off the tracks.
Now, the you know what, the Flash updates, doesn't it seem like you usually give it permission to update automatically? At some point, I feel like I did, or I feel like I should or could, but I'm why can't I just say yes? Since if they feel it's important enough to push these updates out, why can't you just update it automatically? It's not as if it broke Java or Flash that my life would be over or I couldn't use the machine. I would have rather have that happen than these updates, because I do that. I ignore them because they drive me crazy until one day I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do them all. And, you know, I do them, but they sit hidden in my system tray. And I'm like, I'm usually too busy to, why can't they just do that automatically?
I don't know. I mean, it says automatically, I do remember when you were installing, it says automatically update. And I think what they really mean is automatically let me know when there is an update.
Automatically check and download or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. So Mitch, I don't know if you've seen it, but Mitch has joined us in the forums.
Is he really?
He is. And he says that Unchecky is Russian.
So it sounds like a slur out of him. Mitch. Hey, Mitch, he's out drinking with Fred tonight, I think.
I think he is.
That Fred, the Wilson of our show.
Catch a burro. I got nothing.
Go ahead.
There it is. Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
Whatever. Chupacabra.
Abracachupacabra.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey,
okay.
I did kind of
want... Now for something a little more serious.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Oh, now for something completely different.
Now I have to go. I did want to just take a couple minutes. I've talked about this before. I want to hit it on again just because it's been really helpful to me. I ran into it again this week. Installing drivers. I was referred by someone to a new customer that I went out, and basically they were all set up with new ISP. They had moved there. They had new ISP, and they had wireless set up in the house, and there was a desktop with a wireless dongle, and they could not get this thing connected. Now they called everybody, and so it sounded very complicated the way they explained. Of course, the customer always, it sounds very complicated when they explain. But the one thing that I did hear was the computers don't work. They could not connect wirelessly. However, the iPod found the wireless network connected no problem. Okay, well, from a diagnostic standpoint, I could very easily now sort out where the problem wasn't. I mean, the wireless network was being broadcast properly. The security was in place properly. And everything there was good. It was just getting those desktops to see it and connect and whatever. And basically, somebody had given them, I didn't even spend the time to try and figure out where all this hardware arrived, or even the backstory here. Basically, I had a wireless dongle, and it was a Windows 7 machine. It was a driver issue. And you kind of get into the chicken or the egg thing here. It's like, okay, so you need the driver, which they just had like a disk somebody had burnt them, supposedly, with drivers on. It was an executable. They'd ran it. Nothing happened. So I rebooted. I installed whatever was in the middle of installing, or whatever it was. Rebooted the machine to try and get it back to square one with this. And it's a chicken or the egg thing. It's like, I need to connect the internet, but I can't because I need the drivers. And so the drivers are on the internet, and I need to download them, but I can't because I can't connect. So I always carry driver packs, disks, and I'm sure that anybody who's doing this at all uses them. If you don't, definitely check it out. And even if you just do this work casually, download them and burn them. Even if you use them once a year, which you will, they're a lifesaver. They're absolutely fantastic. And basically, maybe not so much with the wireless drivers, but definitely the LAN. When you're doing a brand new install, especially if you're not using a not burnt custom disk, if you're using a retail disk, it will not come with all the drivers that machine needs. Very easy. I pop in, very first thing I do, is pop in the drivers, really. I just pop in the drivers pack disk with all of the LAN drivers, have it search. Usually it will pick out one that is suitable or is correct. That gets me on the internet. And from there, especially since Windows 7, the driver support got really good with Windows 7. Usually it will download all of the missing drivers. Very rarely will you have one that's missing. But I just wanted to mention that. Driverpacks.net, I love it. And in this particular case, I did something a little bit differently. Since I did have internet access, I had my laptop with me, and so I used it just to confirm that, yes, you know, the wireless was up, security was good, I could connect. From there, I actually downloaded the executable from Belkin that was recommended for this particular device. And I hate running an executable to install drivers that Windows already knows to look for and can, especially with Windows 7, can find on its own very easily. So those executables, you know, everybody knows them from installing printers where it installs 15 different things that come up at startup. They make you pull your hair out. You can't make it go away. And it's all completely unnecessary. What I always do, with, especially with those printer drivers, but also in this case, what I did, I download the executable. And very often those executables, especially the printer drivers, what they do is it's basically just unpacks the software and then creates folders and throws them in the folders. Sometimes they don't even install software. Basically, running the executable just unpacks it, kind of like a zip file. And so I love 7-Zip. Once again, I'm sure everybody uses 7-Zip. If you don't, 7-Zip is, it's just been one of my best friends working on computers through the years. It is like Windows native unzipping tool, but like on steroids. And it just, it's fantastic. And using 7-Zip, you almost always can unzip. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. I keep saying unpack or, you know, an archive, but you know, it will unzip these executables. And from there, if you dig around a little bit, you will find a folder with the drivers in it. Ta-da! So you don't have to run it. You don't have to risk running all of this software, running it and then hoping it doesn't fling software into the far reaches of your computer. I use 7-Zip. I open it up. Basically, I'll dig around. I'll find the folder of drivers. I'll stick them in the support files folder. On the root directory, I'll create a support files folder. Bam, threw my drivers in there, and that's what I did. And then I just installed new hardware. I instructed Windows to search that folder, and I, you know, no muss, no fuss. And so I know I've mentioned it before, but it's a super easy process that takes something that can be very difficult and turn into a hair pulling process. Makes it very easy. And I tell you what, those people, I thought they were just, they were at their wit's end because they had talked to all these people and nobody could figure it out. Of course, they're all working remotely. Sometimes the magic is actually just being on site and getting a good look at it. But like, it didn't take me any time at all just to get it set up, get it going. I mean, they were happy, and I'm like, I wish every job was like this, because this is felt like I really won that one. Walked in, just killed it. So anyway, that is, I want to mention that. A couple tools that I love. Please put them in your toolbox, and even if you only use them a time or two, I guarantee it'll be worth it.
Yeah. I am, you know, when I was first starting out in computers, I used WinRAR.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that? And, you know, WinRAR, it's a great program, and it works. It kind of bothers you if you haven't paid for it after so long, because it used to do it. It would do it all. And I would see 7-Zip, and I never really thought much about it. Well, then once I started using 7-Zip, which, by the way, I know runs on Windows, and I know it runs on Linux, because I actually have it installed on my box. I don't know if it's Mac, though. But once you start using 7-Zip, you will realize how many things you can uncompress, unpack. I mean, RAR files, zip files, tar files. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I use it in Linux. And I believe it's open source.
Yes, it is.
So, or at least it's free software, you know. And once you, like I said, it is just one of those things where you may have all of these different tools to do different things. Get rid of them all. 7-Zip is like the 404 of kitchen cleaning. But don't try and clean your kitchen with 7-Zip.
Nice. Sure, no, but you know what? I'd like to 7-Zip some cabinets of crap we got.
Compress them.
Oh, yeah.
Compress them.
Absolutely.
And compress them and then kick them.
Yeah. And you know what? Another feature that I'm always amazed that it doesn't come up more often, but I've used a time or two, is that you can zip something up with a password and send it. And so you can't unzip it without that password.
Now, quick question. Do you know that if I use 7-Zip and I compress something as a zip file, so we're going to make it pretty, we're going to make it Windows here, and yeah. I password protect it and I send it as a zip file, and you use WinZip, will it prompt you for a password, or do you also have to use 7-Zip?
I think that I'm almost certain that Windows will prompt you for the password.
Okay.
I'm just curious. I'm almost certain. However, having said that, I don't know that I've ever used 7-Zip. I don't know that I've ever not used 7-Zip on both ends. And that's the other thing. You can download it as a portable app. So, and that's the way I'm usually using it. So, you know,
like that is true.
On a customer's computer, bam, here it's good. And there you got the portable app. And so it doesn't even have to be installed. It really is. It's a wonderfully small, extremely powerful tool. And Right. It's amazing when you put it to something, what it'll crack open.
Yeah, it's hard to realize how good something is until you use it and then go, oh, wait, where have you been all my life?
Yeah.
7-Zip?
And most recently, even APKs you can break open and look around.
Oh, for your Android people.
So
now you're cracking Ingress.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Sorry. Maybe I thought you alluded to something.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you what, I did break it open because what I wanted were the sound files. And to make ringtones.
You had a friend who did that, right?
I don't really have friends, but it was a guy.
It's a guy.
I know a guy.
Hey, oh, hey.
Hey, it doesn't get broke, but sometimes things get broke open. You know?
That's right. If it falls out of the back of the truck,
that's
hey.
That's right. If the zip file falls off the back of the truck, it might break open. And the sound files come out into your phone for a ringtone. It happens.
Stranger things. Mitch says that he knows that zip files can extract ISOs as well. So,
yes.
If you have an ISO and you need to extract it, go ahead. There you go.
That's right.
So, my kids run iPhones. I have an Android phone. My wife runs iPhones. And I think you have a daughter. And if when I say the word Flappy Bird, does it create pandemonium in your house like it does in mine?
Apparently. I mean, this is all kind of new to me. I really hadn't even heard about it until yesterday. But I think there was a great deal of FUD that came from my mother-in-law to my daughter. And by the time it got to me, it was a very large story that I don't believe any of it was true. So why don't you hit us up with what really happened?
It's hypothesized. But first off, Flappy Bird has been this thing. And if you have not played Flappy Bird, it looks like 8-bit game. It's a bird. And really, if I'm explaining this to you, I don't know where you have been for the last for the last month. You tap on the screen and the bird bounces up and down. But the screen behind it moves and you have to get it through what looks like retro Mario Brother pipes. Okay, they're spaced so far apart and in different heights and you have to get the bird through it. Anyways, my kids were like, we got one, we got two. And then my son would get like 17 and my daughter would say, you cheated. How did you do that? And then he would say, look, and he would do it. And then she'd say, okay, here you go. Can you do it for me? And then on her phone, and then she would get it, and then she'd Instagram it out, and all of her friends were like, yay, you got it so good. And she would never say that her brother actually did it for her. But anyways, Flappy Birds went from zero to hero in nothing flat, actually. And the gentleman who created Flappy Birds, it looks like Dong Nguyen, D-O-N-G-N-G-U-Y-E-N, stated come February 8th, he says, I can call Flappy Birds a success of mine, but it ruins my simple life, so now I hate it. That was his tweet.
Which is the way many mothers feel about their creations as well.
Okay. Well, Flappy Bird, like I said, that was in February.
At least my mom. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all right. I know that people out there like to hear you laugh, so I give them Tim's laugh. Well, okay, so this guy's, he says he hates it, but he was making $50,000 a day just on advertising. $50,000. Now, if somebody were to pay me $50,000 a day just for advertising, I'm not quite sure I would say it ruins my simple life, now I hate it. I would say, yes, sir, I would like another double skinny, non-fat whipped mocha latte from Starbucks in my gold cup, please.
I'd buy a door Cadillac. That's what I'd do.
Our door-to-door geek?
Our door, yeah. I don't have another friend named Door. There's only one.
Well,
Storm Door or Screen Door. No, I would buy a door. I'd buy a door Cadillac.
All right. You heard it here.
That's
if
right.
Tim makes 50 G's, you get a caddy.
Oh, if I ever make 50 G's in advertising a day, I'm buying door Cadillac.
Not a Mary Kay pink one, right?
Whatever he wants.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Whatever he wants.
Spinners?
It's doors. It's doors.
Oh. Yeah. But I'm right here, you know, right?
What's
you
that?
Can't see me. I'm right here. You can't see me, right?
What do you want?
I like a bicycle with some tassels.
I could do better than that.
All right. All right. We'll talk about that after the show. Anyways, back to Flappy Birds. So this game took off, and now he just all of a sudden pulled it. Cult of Mac did a article on this, and Cult of Mac, and it says, did Dev pull Flappy Birds because he cheated? So what they're saying, what they're saying is that if you read through, if you read through the reviews, check the word count, do an analysis on how many times the word glitch, pipe, addicting, are all used relative to the review length. Also, check how many negative reviews get 5 stars. I don't think this is, and this is the author talking about that. He says, I don't think there's any app in the App Store that has this many consistently morbid reviews that uses the same words over and over again and are posted in such regularity. If I'm wrong, please let me know, and we'll start a petition for Apple to stop approving such life-destroying apps. So he is finding that maybe that the dev cheated. And the reason he got so frustrated with this is not because it became so popular. It did, but it was a double-edged sword. It became popular because there were so many likes, and it got so many likes because it became so popular. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? If you leave it up to this gentleman, I don't know which one. The one of them came first, which created more likes, which then, you know, became popular. And it became so popular that Apple said, hey, why don't we put this on the front page of our games list? And so then it became more popular. So this guy doesn't like popularity. It's just one thought.
So what, there's some dirty pool here? Was there something running in the background that was juicing it? Or actually, now that I heard you explain it that way, it almost sounds like maybe it got goosed at the beginning, but that it melted down, like in a nuclear kind of way, that once the reaction started, that there was a vicious circle that caused it to just, you know, shoot to the top. Did I hear you?
Well, the article says Carter Thomas at Blue Cloud Solutions says evidence suggests that Nguyen may have used bots to artificially create downloads and reviews.
If you were going to do that, why would you have negative reviews? Unless it was just to try and keep it from looking too gamed.
Well, because it's negative reviews, but it's stars, so it's 5 stars with actual negative text. Now, I'm not quite sure when you go and you search for an app and you say, show me the most popular, it's not looking for what's in the text. It's looking for how you rated it 1 through 5. So it's kind of like, you know, dogs. You can say, you're a good boy, you're a good boy, you're a good boy, but being in a very negative tone, the dog's going to hear the tone, not necessarily the words, right? Because dogs can't speak English. I think that's here. When you go and you search for a popular app, it's going to see how many positive stars you gave it, not necessarily the words of saying this game actually is terrible. So it doesn't matter what what they said. And so that's why he's thinking, why would you have negative typed out reviews, but yet positive star ratings? And then the correlation between all of the reviews actually sounding a lot alike, the typed out reviews. So I'll put the link. Anybody listening, all the links that we talk about and stuff, there are show notes and to go check those out, because we will definitely keep those up to date. So that's, yeah. And so I'm not sure. Now, when he did pull this, though, I noticed that they did not pull it from the Android store.
Really? Because I read that they had, but I hadn't checked for myself. Right. So,
because it's that day that he pulled it, I was able to get it from the download store. I played it once, and I think my high score is 2. I'm not very good at it.
You know what? Why would they? I mean, if the reviews are insincere or incorrect or misleading, then yeah, I mean, pull it. But if people genuinely want to download it for no reason whatsoever than to see what the hype is about, well, the hype is real. I mean, the hype's real. Stick it back on there. Why wouldn't you? Right. People want to download the game that was pulled because it was highly rated but sucked. Well, I mean, that's legitimate. I'm not saying it's a good reason, but I mean, that's a legitimate reason. It's now been legitimized. Put it back out there. And that ad revenue is, that's not being pulled in under false pretenses. You do have to pull it initially. It's not like there was anything wrong with the app. I mean, it supposedly wasn't good, but it's not like it was Beavis and Butthead and Fire,
right?
Causing bad things to happen in real life. It was just a time sink.
Right. The app wasn't malicious.
No.
But if you are, you tried it out and you said, man, I hate this, and you got rid of it, and now you say, oh, I wish I would have had it. You can buy iPhones now with Flappy Bird installed on them, because if you had the game installed, it won't go away on eBay. So if you're looking to spend, you know, upwards of $100,000 for an iPhone on eBay with Flappy Birds installed, you can do that. So maybe instead of the Cadillac, maybe you can get Dora an iPhone with Flappy Birds on it.
Wait, you say that again? Wait, you're saying that if it's installed, you can't uninstall it?
No, if it's installed, you can still play it. So if you already had it installed,
okay.
But the problem is that now you want it and it's not available. So you go to eBay and you go, well, I got $100,000 sitting around. Why don't I just buy this phone that has it already installed on it? Ta-da, problem solved.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. You know what? That is only 2 days of advertising. So I'll do it.
There you go. Dora, you have an iPhone coming to you.
Half of one.
half an iPhone.
Half of one.
Vertically or horizontally?
You know what? I tell you, if I sent Dora an iPhone, I bet I'd get half of it back.
He'd keep half your paycheck.
Oh boy, yeah, he would send me the broken half,
the back of it as it's ripped into. But then you could put a new screen on it. So
I could,
you could honestly, could. Really, you're not out anything. Well, except $100,000.
2 days of advertising,
right? Yeah, pennies.
Well, that was a very interesting story. I didn't quite know what to make of it. Yeah, I mean, because you trust these reviews, going to those app stores, it's like it's all user generated, and you really believe you can trust it. I mean, you can sort them by most recent, and because I mean, it might have a million like 5 stars, but a couple like ones or twos. But then when you look, you see the ones and twos are all from the last like week since the update. You're like, whoa! So I mean, you got to dig into it. You can really parse it, and it means something. Man, if there's something out there that can rig it, ooh, that's no good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this might develop into something. We have to keep an eye on this.
Hey, there's a whole bunch of new spoofs of the game now. So.
I don't know. Sure there is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. This is a spoof. I mean, look, it's like Mario tubes pipes.
Oh, really?
I mean, look at the picture. That's what it looks like to me. It says there's a screen grab. It looks like you said Mario pipes. I don't know. I haven't played it, but. Excuse me.
Well, that's what I've got. I'm still working. I've been messing with GFI a little bit more. GFI Max, the
very nice.
So I don't feel comfortable saying, yeah, let me do a review on it yet, because I just haven't really had time to play with it as much. I'm doing a demo with my reseller tomorrow. Regarding that, I'm looking at Sophos some more. Actually, I've become a reseller of Sophos now. So that's a new thing for Abandoned Computing. Going to be pushing that out. They now have a cloud-based console. It's fairly new. They're going to be expanding on it more and more in the future, so I'm excited to hear that. For the longest time, Sophos being such an enterprise-type antivirus, and they were not selling the home users, they still are. You have to buy the cloud one, and you're still looking at like $40, $50 a client. It's not until you get up into buying close to $100. Even then, you can drop it down to below $30. So I'm doing that. I'm looking forward to them being a reseller. What I was going to say was that for the longest time, you actually had to have a server that had the Sophos console on it in-house, and now they're able to do it in the cloud. They are a little behind in that, I'll say. They have not been doing cloud stuff for a long time, so I'm looking forward to seeing what is coming of that, because I've really enjoyed Sophos. But I haven't talked to a lot of my clients about it because it was so expensive, and the prices are coming down. And now, if you have a client who doesn't have any servers on site, now I can go to them and say, hey, what about this for your antivirus? So,
yeah. Hey, I have one thing like totally not computer related, but somewhat technology related. I want to throw it out. Have you seen the movie Gravity?
I have not.
All right. So I watched that, I was a little under the weather, so I was taking in some movies that I thought looked interesting. And I'll tell you what, it was entirely by chance, but I watched two movies back-to-back that I was amazed by what they had in common. I compared and contrasted them as I was watching them. So I watched Gravity, and very, very good. Very well done. Much of it had me very, like, comfortable, like, when you see people in the movies and they're in peril, I don't know. I suppose that you're so accustomed to it. It's all ho-hum. It's like entertaining, right? Which is like sickening. But I mean, watching this movie and the peril that these people are in, I almost couldn't breathe. Like I was having like little panic attacks. Like I'm just glad that wasn't me, and I will never find myself in that position. But excellent. Very well done. Definitely worth watching. However, anybody who's seen Gravity, have you seen All is Lost with Robert Redford.
I have not seen that one either. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. So, actually, that's fine. I'll tell you what. So, both movies, if you get a chance to see them, I would suggest watching them maybe in the course of a week or two. I don't know, back to back. But both of them are very, very similar in what happens, although very different. All is Lost. I think the difference is I preferred All is Lost because in the gravity, they're in space. A lot of it is relied on a lot of CGI and effects. There are certain things that you take for granted because, well, maybe if you were in space and these things happened, then maybe that would happen. Well, I don't know that. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't, but it's integral to the story, so you have to accept it. All is Lost takes place. It's just Robert Redford on a boat, and I tell you what, the way gravity made me feel, what happens to this man made me feel that so much more because it was very real. This I could relate to. Not that I've ever really spent a lot of time on the water in a boat, but you see where these things could happen. They're very real. Like the boat gets a hole punched in the side of it. Well, I mean, you understand that better than some part of your space station getting blown off by space debris. The other thing that about All is Lost, and basically where I'm going with this, I highly recommend it. It's fantastic. As you're watching films, you are just hammered over the head with effects, sound effects, things blowing up in your face, 18.1 surround sound, and stuff underneath your seat kicking you at the right time. That the movie with him, it's stark in its in how it deprives you of all of this. It's just it's all very plain, all very real. I don't know if he says I don't know that he says 30 words throughout the entire movie. Nobody. It's just because he's alone. I mean, that's the other thing, is he's basically the only person in the movie. It's unlike anything that I've seen in a very, very long time. It's absolutely fantastic. So I wanted to throw that out. I was thinking about Gravity because of the technological side of it, watching it, and I thought, well, it might be worth looking into on the show. But I'll tell you what, the direction I kind of went with it was, I saw this other movie. I have to recommend it. It was, I don't know if it's the best movie that I've seen in a long time, but it's the first movie I think I'd really, really recommend in a long time, just because it's so unique and special in what it is. So anyway, didn't want to mention that. See Gravity. No, see them both.
Yeah, I was just looking at the All is Lost on IMDb, and I remember that. And I'm a huge Robert Redford fan. Anything from like Sneakers, he was in Sneakers.
Butch and Cassidy.
I haven't seen that one. I know. I gotta go back.
Go all the way back. Butch Cassidy, him and Paul Newman. I mean, just aces.
But here's what makes me think of, when I think of Robert Redford now, I think of, he is part of a film company called the American Film Company. And did you ever see the movie The Conspirator? It came out in 2010, and it was about what happened after Lincoln was shot.
No.
And basically, Mary Surratt is the lone female charges as the conspirator, the co-conspirator, and she's actually hung. I'm telling you history. But they're going through the process of how to save her life. And I know this is not tech related and we're getting into movie stuff, but it has things like Robin Wright.
Well, it's the other show, so people could just stop it now if they want.
Yeah. Kevin Kline, Tom Wilkinson. Just all these people you go, oh, I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. Robin Wright plays Mary Surratt. And, she's actually the mom. She's actually the mother of, I think she's the mother of one of the brothers, Wilkes Booth. But they do a great job with it. And it's called The Conspirator. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But it's part of a company called the American Film Company. And what they do is they go through and they have a couple of movies out now, regarding how, history. Like some of the stuff that they put out regarding, history, like things you didn't know about, like Ghosts of the Pacific, Bourne's in the Badlands, like all of these true American history stuff that I never learned in high school. So I just wanted to mention that. So check it out. It's called The American Film Company with Robert Redford. And like I said, he's part of it. And it's this whole group of people who want to really bring history back to the big screen and not just not just history, like, oh, this is based loosely on that, but actually this is what happened, this is how it happened, and this is what, you know. And The Conspirator is not a good movie. Excuse me. I mean, it's not a good movie as in, like, yay, you know, she dies at the end. They hang her, and there's pictures, and I was Googling this as I was watching this movie.
I don't need to see it now.
There are pictures of what happened, like, during the hanging, and there's pictures of, like, the crowds, and there's pictures of people standing around, and they did it shot for shot during this thing. So when there's a picture of the wall that's, you know, there at the army, that the fort that's no longer there, they rebuilt the fort to look just like it. So they did a great job with it, but it's a great movie. If you haven't seen that, so I recommend those ones as well. For not having a whole lot of stuff to say, we said a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, and I know why. I want to talk about the movies because last week Mitch was talking about going and seeing Bad Grandpa.
That's right.
Which I got to say, that was it was a little slow. It had its moments. I felt like they could have boiled that down to about 20 of the funniest minutes I've ever seen in my life. A little slow, but I'm always a big Johnny Knoxville fan, so I'm giving it like half a thumbs, kind of.
Yeah, I probably won't go see it. Sorry.
Oh, I
I don't know.
Maybe we could like act it out in a very special episode of the Geeksters.
There you go. The Geeksters. We'll have to do a live show, though. We'll have to have people come out and watch us, and then you guys, I'll sell tickets, and you guys can act out Bad Grandpa. Oh, Mitch has it, he says. Straight to DVD. That's how great it was.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
All right. So if people want to get a hold of you, Tim, how can they? What's the best way for them to do that?
Usually by the throat. That will get my attention.
Upside the head. So whack!
That's it.
Hi, thanks
if
for calling,
really
Tim.
You really want to get a hold of me. Yeah, I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+. I'm in Like Tim in the Podnuts forums. You can email me. I'm tim@realpcrepair.com.
Very cool. And guys, we love emails and voicemails. And thank you again, David, for writing into us. If you want to send us a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT. If you want to send us a email, it's geeksters@podnuts.com. We have been getting a lot of spam lately. I don't know if you've been noticing that. So that's always fun. I am going to save a whole lot of money on my next car insurance, though. So thank you for sending that. Podnuts.com/Amazon is a great place to buy your Amazon stuff. And I know that we have a great supporter named Nick Shaw who helps us the Podnuts network out. He's coming out with D7 Part 2. I'm hoping to get a little one-on-one with him. Get some,
Part 2, the D7er.
That's right, D7. I'll be back. And
the D7ing.
D70? Yeah, all right. Anyway, so I'm hoping to get him on, and we will get Nick talking about it. But if you have not seen D7 or Deinstaller, or any of the other stuff he has, go check it out. It's foolishit.com, foolshit.com.
Why?
I know. So, guys, it's been fun. Or Guy, it's been fun. And
playing back at you, buddy.
Have a great Geeksters fiscal week. See you next time.